Hi, this is Dr. John Gray, author of Men from Mars, Women from Venus, and you're listening to the Kick-Ass Life Show with David Wood.
Kick-Ass.
Whoa, that's Kick-Ass. Make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Hey, good morning and welcome to the show. I have a really, really exciting guest on the show today. Before I get going with that, I just want to let you know where I'm at. Of course, I'm always globe-trotting, and right now I'm down in Belize. As those of you who are following every single day, which a lot of you do, you already know that. But we're on day three of a personal growth program that I've written and I'm running here. And the island is absolutely full, which is awesome. We're having a great, great time. And with the 11 people who flew in from Australia for the program, that's a massive commitment. I'm so proud of them. And, you know, some people flew from Perth, which is, you know, if you know the distances, it's just a long, long way. And so to be here and to watch them sort of open up and start to transform and really learn the skills. This particular program is all about training. Those of you who know my background know that I'm sort of known as the trainer's trainer, and I train a lot of trainers. But as I'm sitting here, I thought what I'd describe is the sun's coming up, and it's a beautiful, calm ocean. With an island, it's really funny. If I look out, I can actually see the west side of the island and the east side of the island from where I'm sitting right now. And the wind is, you know, beautiful coming in from the west right now, from a northwest actually. And on the leeward side of the island, everything's really calm, and they're just getting the dive boat ready. We're going out for a dive this morning. I gave everyone the morning off, so we have some people going ziplining and some people who are diving and some people who are hammocking or getting massaged. We have a beautiful tea dock on the eastern side of the island, so there'll be people laying out there being massaged and having a beautiful experience and just chillaxing and relaxing. And there's people going snorkeling and people going kayaking and doing a tour of Bird Island, which is one of only 12 bird sanctuaries in the whole Caribbean. And it's just right off the eastern tip of our island. So it's really beautifully located. And I mentioned this on the last show, you know, just to think about maybe planning a trip down here, whether you come down with me or whether you come down alone. You know, this is an island that you can book to. So it's Thatch Key, like a thatch roof, key as in C-A-Y-E, Thatch Key Belize, the country.com. So thatchkeybelize.com if you're interested in coming down. And the other thing, you know, everyone who's here, I mean, we have people who have actually met me through the show. In other words, they started listening to the show, one of them almost 2 years ago when we first started. And now he's here as a student, and he got rid of his business, and we're working together, and it's really exciting. And I'm going to have him on the show on Thursday, so listen out for that, to his journey, which is, again, really, really exciting. It's great to listen to. If you're interested in doing an adventure week down here, like a Kick-Ass Life Adventure Week, where, you know, I sort of blend some personal growth with the most incredible adventures. And right off the mainland here, there's a place called the Hummingbird Highway. And the Hummingbird Highway has 12 or 13 of the greatest adventures, whitewater cave rafting and zip lining and horseback riding through the jungles and all different kinds of things. But jungle houses, jaguar sanctuaries, there's amazing. The number one tourist attraction in Central America was called ATM Caves, which I took my youngest son on last time we were here. And it was one of the highlight moments of his life. He still talks about it. So again, if you're interested in that, why don't you private Facebook me and just say, look, I really am interested, and I'll probably plan something for maybe 6 months from now. Again, if there's enough people who are interested, because I don't want to sell this thing. I don't want to have to go out there and beat a drum. It's just, if you're interested in coming away, having a kick-ass experience, instead of opening up your mind, opening up your heart, your spirit, and really having a great adventure, then just let me know. And if there's enough of you that say yes, I'll put it on. If there isn't, guess what? We won't. As easy as that. But that being said, I've done far too much talking, and my guest is far too brilliant to keep waiting. This guy, left a very successful career as an insurance agent, believe it or not, to pursue podcasting full time. He's one of the icons of this industry and has helped really so many people to start their own podcasts and to serve his community. He really talks about having a ministry, and I really find that just amazing about him, his heart of service. He's done 3,100 podcast episodes. We're at 300, so I could just know what that commitment is. 3,100 since 2005. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the most incredible, open-hearted, generous, kind, and brilliant man, Mr. Cliff Ravenscraft.
So, as usual, I'm looking for that word, and here it is, excitement. And I'm truly excited to get to know someone. Our relationship's just starting. And somebody who really has combined his faith, his passions, his family, and really created a life that anyone looking in will say, you know what, this is somebody that lives on purpose every minute of every day. So, Cliff, welcome to the show.
Wow. Thank you so much, David. And I'm very much honored by those words. And the fact that somebody today would describe my life in that way is a dream come true.
Well, it wasn't always that way. And I'm going to go back and dig around there. But what really struck me a moment ago when I asked the same question of everyone I interview, is where do they want to end up? And it was such a selfless answer that you gave. And it's so rare, because typically people always have this thing, I want my book, it's this, it's that. And, you said these words, which is just resonated so deeply with me, and it was consider podcasting. And it's kind of really allowing other people to step into your space and discover the joy that you have. And I had to really dig around and say, well, no, but if they wanted to come play with you, where do we go? And then you had sort of had something again about really helping people again. So that act of service, is that where you come from every day?
It is. I have an entire list of things that I think about every day, and I go through this. It's in my Evernote. And I'll share with you, it's number one, how can I bring value to the person or people that I'm interacting with today? What role can I play in helping this person get what they want? What am I doing today to improve who I am and what I have to offer to others? Am I in an environment that is conducive to positive thought habits? Am I dwelling on any negative thought habits that need to be replaced with positive thoughts? What's the other one here? Will I do something today that really matters? And what will I do to help someone else succeed? These are the thoughts that I actually read to myself every day before I start answering emails, because sometimes I can be so much under stress and pressure and everything like that, that I just want to get to inbox zero. And I'd rather just push everybody out of my inbox and say, you know what? Sorry, I can't help you. Sarah can't help you. But I actually very much my life's mission is to serve and help others. And so I have to be reminding myself to come from this place of service, because I have achieved way more success than I ever dreamed possible. And I recognize and realize that it's not my business acumen, it's not my marketing skills. While I've been blessed to improve upon those things, it's literally my attitude and heart to serve others, obsessively serve others, that has gotten me to where I am today.
That's a great, obsessively serve others. It's so wonderful. I mean, it's great. I mean, even on your site, you talk about entertainment, education, inspiration, and encouragement. So, I mean, when you started out, could you envision that I think you have 27 shows that you do, but could you imagine back then the global impact that you're having today?
No. It depends on how far back then you're talking about. When I first recorded my first podcast episode, absolutely not. When I actually left my career in insurance and decided to pursue this as a full-time career 18 months later, I had dreams, but I knew that my wildest dreams would not even begin to summarize what's ultimately going to happen. I feel like I do feel all the way back to January 2008, from that moment when I actually started working for myself. I completely left the world of being an employee to actually being a business owner. While I had no idea what I was doing or how I was going to do it, I knew for a fact that failure was not going to happen. And I knew that I was going to achieve something that was much greater than who I am.
Hmm. Let me talk and about so, that. Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
How did you know? I mean, because so many people won't take the first step because of that fear of failure, because the unknown is so vast that they're, you know, staying back with in their comfort zone. And you had a pretty comfortable zone in the fact that your parents owned an insurance company. You were heir to the throne. You know, they were going to give you the keys to the kingdom, basically. So, you know, you had a whole path that you could have taken, which could have been, you know, very secure. And yet you chose a new path. But how did you know back then that you failure was not going to be an option? What was it? Was it something you'd learned? Was it, where did that come from?
Well, let me just share that before I started working in insurance, my parents begged me to come work for them, and they had it's a family-run insurance agency. My mom and dad own it. It's been in the family since 1929.
Wow.
So this is a long-running thing, and they wanted to suck me into the family business, and I fought it every step of the way. And one of the things that I knew is when they actually invited me to come work for them and initially it was to hook up their computers. They had these brand new systems that were running this brand new operating system called Windows 95. And they heard that they could be networked together, and they were buying some software that would allow them to do some things that previously weren't possible. And that's what they wanted to hire me to do. And I said, Mom, Dad, I'll tell you what, I'll come work for you on one condition. That is that if I ever have the opportunity to go into ministry full time, no matter how much money I make or how little money I make in that career field, I know that one day I want to devote my life to ministry full time. And of course, in my mind at that time, I thought that that only meant being a pastor of a church, because that was the road I was heading down for my studies. And they said they agreed to that. Well, over the course of 11 years, I got to the place where I was finally making $87,000 a year, plus all expenses paid trips around the world twice a year with my family. And I live in Northern Kentucky, and $87,000 a year is equivalent to like $300,000 a year for those who are in California. I know that it's different all around the world. But for me, I was making lots of money, more money than most people that I know. And I thought that I loved my job until I started podcasting. And here's what happened. Here's where the shift happened. My wife and I started podcasting about a TV show, Lost. I was a tech geek, and I became obsessed with this television show. And so I decided I wanted to create a podcast. And the very first episode was devoted to the TV show Lost. And I thought, nobody's ever going to listen to this. I mean, people in my own local area, when I first discovered Lost, they were all very excited about all these different hidden clues and Easter eggs and all this philosophy that came out of these books like John Locke and, you know, Toy Story and all this different stuff. And it's like, you've got to see this. This is more than just a TV show. They're telling something bigger. And people were really interested for about 15 minutes. And then they wanted to go back to talking about their sports, which I could care less about. They were done with me, and they were done with my loss. And I thought that that's exactly what was going to happen in podcasting. But the opposite was true. I created a podcast about Lost, and by the third episode, I had thousands of subscribers around the world. And that blew my mind. In fact, it went to my head, and I went on this major raging egomaniac trail in my journey that I'm still not proud of today. And there's records of it in the iTunes reviews if you go to look that podcast up. But I grew a lot. And here's what happened, though. I invited my wife to join me on the second episode, and we started podcasting together about this TV show. And we did not do it from a Christian perspective. We didn't do it from a faith perspective. We just talked as husband and wife who were both fans of this TV show. And of course, the TV show Lost talked about daddy issues. It talked about this thing called starting over, or tabula rasa. And it even had a Catholic priest on the show, or at least somebody, well, I won't spoil anything. So it had a Catholic priest on there who misquoted the 23rd Psalm and all these different things. And so we brought up things that most other podcasts devoted to the TV show Lost weren't bringing up. And by the way, there were already five other podcasts devoted to the show. So we were the sixth. And we just loved it. We were doing it for the fun of it. It wasn't, I didn't need the money. My wife and I had become debt free. In fact, that was one of the conversations that came up when talking about money issues and stuff like that. We just talked about the show from our perspective, and we started getting emails from people who were listening to us saying, "Hey, I've been listening to your podcast for a couple of weeks, and I get this strange sensation that you and your wife are Christians. Am I right?" And I would hit the reply button and say, "Well, yes, you are. I'm so glad you found the show. Thanks for listening." And then I would get an email back the next day, and it's like 7 pages long if you print it out on paper. And it's them spilling out their life and sharing with us their journey of faith and how they've struggled and how encouraging hearing us talk over the last couple of weeks have been to them. And then asking for advice, life advice. I'm like, and by the way, this happened once, and then it happened again and happened again, happened again. And eventually we launched a second podcast devoted to answering people's questions. So that we could get it out of the lost stuff, and so that I was starting to get the same questions over and over again. So we started creating podcast episodes like Living Debt. We had an episode called Living Debt Free. We did a 5-part series called The 5 Threats to Marital Oneness. These were things people were asking us about. And so in the future, what happened was when the questions came in, I would write a personalized, 5 or 6 sentence response and then give them a link to a podcast episode where we already answered that question for them within a whole 1-hour program or a series of 3 or 4 episodes. And previous to creating that second podcast, I was responding to everybody with my own 3 to 5 page responses. And that was getting a little overwhelming. So that's how we created a second show. But what happened was I came to realize that in all the years I spent in ministry in the traditional model of the church, I really felt like I was doing nothing more than babysitting a bunch of people who really didn't want to do the things that they say they wanted to do in their life. And through this podcasting, I'm actually getting people who are really serious about decisions that they're making in their lives. And then within a couple months, like 5-6 months later, somebody saying, I literally have a letter that says, "Cliff and Stephanie, I can't thank you enough. In fact, my entire family thanks you. When I first discovered your podcast, I had left my wife and my family behind. I was dating a younger woman and I was living this life that I am absolutely ashamed of. Through your podcast, I became encouraged by what a marriage could be. And it got me to thinking. And over time, I made the decision to get my life right. And I went back and reconciled with my wife. And now I'm back with my family. And we have you and your podcast to thank for it." 9 months later, I had somebody who says, "Cliff and Stephanie, I just want to tell you, for years and years, our family struggled with debt. We sold all of our vehicles that we had debt on. We sold our home and have been renting for the last several months. And as a result of your podcast, we are now 100% debt free. I have a letter on my wall that actually says, 'Cliff and Stephanie, because of your podcast, I made the decision to not commit suicide when my family went on vacation.'" And this, David, is why I knew that this is what my life was about, to actually create content based upon my own personal life experience, knowing that I'm not the only one who struggles with these thoughts or feelings or experiences in life, that I'm not the only one who has all these different emotions. And I just want to take my real, authentic, transparent life and share anything and everything that I'm blessed to know or experience in life. And if I have a passion about it, I want to create content that will positively inspire other people, that it will entertain them, educate them, encourage or inspire them in such a way that it makes their life better.
You talk about, finding my way in the world. And I really love as you're talking through this right now. And the fact that you linked arms with your wife as well, and really this journey you've been on and that people have been witness to. Because I remember when I first started podcasting, I remember I'm a bike rider and I'll go on these long, road bike things. And I had you in my head. And I think I listened to 4 or 5 of your episodes. And I didn't know you. I just knew that it was the podcast Answer Man, you know, and there was all this information there. And what's fascinating, I think, about your range, your personal range, is, you know, everything from Doctor Who, you know, to the sort of the geeky side, but to also to this faith-based side. And I mean, in listening to the Answer Man, I just knew there was a great guy. The faith aspect never ever came up in my mind about, you know, your Christianity or how that felt. And so you're able to talk to all audiences, which is a pretty unique platform, isn't it?
It is. And the reality is that what you just mentioned is 100% intentional. I make it a point not to use my platforms around these shared passions that I have with people as a mechanism to convert them to Christianity or my worldview. One of the things that I found that this allows me to do is build relationships that are not basically foiled from the beginning. Because what happened, and this is my reality in real life, this is something that podcasting offers to me that real life does not. Oftentimes when I meet people, we're in social circumstances where we're not necessarily meeting around a shared passion. So for example, you know, at a baseball game, I'm sitting, maybe if I meet somebody for the very first time, you know, well, that's a bad example because some people do share their passion for sports. I don't. But the thing is I'll give you a perfect example. I would meet somebody at an insurance conference and my passion wasn't insurance. My passion was helping people. And my passion was, well, at the time, making enough money to provide for my family, but I could really care less about insurance. I hated the topic, but I would go to these conferences and I would meet people at these, you know, whatever reasons I'm at an insurance conference. And the topic would always be sports, religion, or whatever hot topic is, the things. And these are the things that divide people. You know, it's like all of a sudden it's like in 90 seconds or less, can I tell what box I should put you in?
That's so true.
And what I love about podcasting, and I'll give you a perfect example of this, and I'm going to admit something to you that I'm not very proud of. But this just goes to share with you is how much I like to share this experience in my life. I actually found somebody who found me through my Lost podcast and then found me, then jumped over to Podcast Answer Man. And we developed a friendship as a result of our shared passion for the TV show Lost and our friendship over the shared passion of podcasting. And through that, we interacted and met each other with discussions related to only what we had in common, Lost and technology and online community building. We went months and months and months only talking about things that we were both passionate about, and we developed a very close friendship. It wasn't until about 4 months later that I learned that this friend of mine was a non-Christian, and not only that, but he was bisexual. This is somebody from where I grew up. This is somebody you don't have a friendship with. This is, if you have a friendship with them, you're condoning their activities in life. And that's just not something you do. You shun them and all this other stuff. And that was my mindset years ago. It's not today. So all of a sudden here, I've actually developed a friendship with somebody who, wow, if I would have known this at the beginning, I don't know that I would have invested in a friendship because And this all came to me when I actually went to a conference years ago called the Catalyst Conference. And there was a guy named Donald Miller. He's a very popular author, wrote a book called Blue Light Jazz. And he was talking about that. And he says, oftentimes the problem with Christians is they only develop relationships with people who validate their worldview. And they refuse to acknowledge the fact that other people exist. And they will never develop a relationship where they do not confidently feel that they can win the other person over to their worldview. And I'm like, boom, guilty as charged. Hmm. And what happened was I decided that's not who I am. It's not what I believe. It's what I've been taught, but it's not what I believe. And so I went through a lot of life change. And what happened was I made the decision, I don't necessarily want to immediately know what people's worldview is. I don't want to know about their faith right away. I don't want to know, if I never have influence in that area, my desire is simply, what can I do to make these people, to have a positive impact on the person that I'm interacting with? How can I add value to this person? And there's one, if there is faith that comes to mind, there is one scripture that always comes to mind, and it's 1 Peter 3:15 that says, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that you have. But when you do it so with gentleness and respect. Mm. And that's also very different than the way that I was brought up. But the reality is that it was a very intentional thing that when I actually create a podcast about podcasting, I am not looking for opportunities to drop the God topic. Does my faith come up from time to time in that podcast? Yeah, but only when it absolutely makes sense.
When it's relevant, where it's relevant, right? I mean,
exactly.
Right. You know, it's really interesting because I teach a lot of programs in different parts of the world. I just got back from Australia where I did 3 events. And, you know, it's amazing how I teach a whole lot around the art of connection. And the easiest conversation, and teaching people how to talk to each other. And I have a lot of faith-based people from all different faiths come into my events. And sometimes I'll have, you know, thousands and thousands, up to 8,000 people at an event. And sometimes it's, you know, a few hundred. But it's really interesting about this whole idea of common ground is that when I listen to the words you're speaking right now and the intention of your heart and the idea that you can find a friendship through the common, the things that you have in common with somebody and later on discover things that maybe if you'd have found out in the beginning based on your indoctrination or based on your education, based on what you've been taught, that relationship, which you describe so beautifully as a really, really close relationship, is really... It's not in the way anymore. The common ground is the start of that. Do you find, because I find in this techie world, and I find in, you know, watching people in restaurants where they're sitting there on their machines and the sort of the art of real conversation, which is what you do every day, you know, and this idea of attracting people through a common theme that is of passion to them or of interest to them. Do you find this, the art of real conversation is something that you're seeing is diminishing in a lot and that why this platform is so important?
You know, I have to say that I live in a bubble, and what I mean by that is I really am in a place where I only interact with people in scenarios and situations where there is some sort of shared passion. And I don't know if that how that actually sounds. I don't know if it sounds anything like what I mean it in my head.
But again, I think that you've gone through a long journey where you've designed a life, which we talked about, which has a beautiful range and is full of passion. You wake up the moment you open your eyes and people who live a life like that, I think design a life that will have those interactions. But when you look out beyond your bubble, do you see that a lot of people are aching for that true connection, that true common ground where they can get into deeper relationship with people?
Absolutely. Matter of fact, that's why so now I totally get where you're coming from. And you're right. I have designed my life to not be stuck in that world anymore. But yes, before podcasting, that was my life. Honestly, my life before podcasting and this whole online building relationships with people who share passions, the reality was I was one of those awkward, you know, outcasts in my community. Growing up, I was the kid who took his first computer apart when I was 8 years old and taught myself how to program in BASIC. You know, the other kids in school, they're all on the football team and the really popular kids dress really nice. And I didn't dress so nice. I'm the guy who was watching a science fiction show from the, you know, in the 1980s. British sci-fi called The Tomorrow People and stuff like that. Nobody else really cares about this. They're all listening to George Michael and all these other things, all this other stuff that's going on in popular culture. And the reality was I did not connect with those people in my geographic area. And so what happens is when you are limited to a geographic area, your network of people that you do life with, when you limit the geographic area, what happens is you limit the potential of number of people who actually share some of your similar passions, unless your passions are the really popular ones like golf and football on Sundays and all those other really popular things. But I didn't share any of those. I hate sports. I hate golf. I hate all of this other stuff. And I'm a total technology geek nerd, and I love science fiction. Nobody in my area shared that. There just maybe... if at most I could probably name 10 people in my lifetime that in my own geograph, within 100 miles of my home, I could maybe name 10 or 15 people who shared passions with me prior to my turning 20 years old.
Let me ask you a question to give people context. I mean, this show's in 179 countries. And to give context to people listening around the world, today, since you've started the show, I apologize for that. I forgot to unplug the phone.
It's not a problem. No.
So, but today, based on where you're at, how many people do you reach from your 27 shows? And I think I heard you say one time that you have like 3,000 people that you consider close to, whose lives you understand, who you could talk about in depth. Can you give us some sort of understanding from where you were at, sort of trapped in these all these passions you had that weren't connecting with the people in your geographical location, but now you've had this tapestry of different passions that people come alive in and cross passions. But give us some idea of numbers, can you, just so people can hear it?
Sure. And I hope that people, when they hear this, understand that I've been doing this for 8 years now. So these numbers are not typical and stuff like that. It takes a lot of busting your butt for years. And I've got a total, by the way, I do know this. I did the calculation. If you've heard of Malcolm Gladwell and his 10,000 hour rule, I'm already in well excess of over 25,000 hours devoted to this since December 2005. Mm.
That's so, the tipping point or the mastery, the 10,000 outliers, right? 10,000 hours to mastery. Awesome.
Yeah. So I want to preface what I'm about ready to tell you, because what I'm about to tell you is pretty darn amazing. On a weekly basis, I reach a couple hundred thousand people from where I sit behind this microphone every single week. Several hundred thousand people. And that is mind blowing to me. I still have a hard time wrapping my mind around it, but it is the reality that I live in. And so, for example, I created a podcast called Help, I Got a Mac. And it was when I first discovered the Mac platform and actually went from hating Apple snobs to actually becoming one myself. And that actually happened in, you know, over, I think it was like 170 weeks that we did podcasts devoted to that. And so that reached thousands upon thousands of other Mac enthusiasts or soon to be Mac enthusiasts or people who became Mac enthusiasts because of our content. And that I have many lifelong friendships as a result of that. And certainly a lot of those people found us through their love of the Apple platform and came over to learn about my Business Technology Weekly for small business owners who are looking to improve their efficiency and productivity through business technology. So we had that podcast and that reached thousands and thousands of people. And so I over the time I have created, actually I'm at 30 different podcasts and over 3,100 podcast episodes, most of them an hour in length. And yeah, so hundreds of thousands of people is who I reach. And one of the things that I tell people when they say, Cliff, how can I increase the size of my audience? I said, well, and oftentimes they always ask, they tend to ask the earth, end their question with a statement saying, I've been podcasting for 9 months and I only have 600 subscribers. And those words really irritate me, because that what that tells me is this person's never stood on a stage in front of 600 people before. Because if they did, they would truly respect the fact of what 600 people who has any desire to hear what you have to say for 30 to 40 minutes every week. You would never use the word only in front of that.
That is so powerful. I can't tell you. Again, I've been doing this for, I think I'm at 270 shows. And I don't have that conversation with myself, but I hear it from other people who are starting out. And that's such a beautiful context. Imagine if they walked on stage, even 100 people. I mean, you walk in a room with 100 people. I mean, it's mind-blowing that 100 people are sitting there in the audience and they want to be there. They want to listen to you. I mean, and I always say if one person's life can be impacted by my work, but I mean, you walk into a room with 30 people. I'm doing an event in 2 weeks in Belize in a little private island. And there's going to be 28 people who have flown from, I mean, 9 flew from Australia. But I mean, that is, to me, is so fulfilling. But I mean, imagine 28 people listen to your podcast with that rationale. You could really sit behind that mic and know that you're impacting 28 lives, right?
That is exactly my mindset. And that is what that is a mission of mine, to get people to understand the value of just one person who listens to you. And you never know who that person is, and you never know what kind of impact that you're going to have. But create content with the purpose of serving the individuals who listen to you and not the large, massive numbers that listen to you. And that's what I love. That's what I love about podcasting. And so what I tell people, I say, listen to this. Here's what I recommend that you do. You say you got a couple hundred people that are listening to you. What I recommend that you do is forget about growing your audience and instead open up a spreadsheet and here are the columns: first name, last name, email address, and then personal detail number one, personal detail number two. So what I recommend that you do, let's just say you have 500 people who are subscribed to your podcast. I recommend that you set a goal that within the next 60 days, you will learn the first name, last name, email address, and two personal details of at least 100 people who are already listening to your podcast.
That is gold right there. That is so great, because again, then the intentionality of your work, and I want to come back to, because I don't want to miss this, because you know that we don't have a lot longer left, is, you know, one of the themes that I asked you, what do you want from the show? You said for people to consider podcasting. And I want to sort of bring that together right now. And what you're saying here is when we start to have this new understanding of whether it's 10 or 100 or 50 or 500 or 5,000 or whatever the number is, the idea that you're in a real relationship and it's our role is to understand them and a few things that are personal about them. And I think that really what you've done beautifully is create communities, right?
That is exactly it. I plug people into relationships around shared passions. Initially, when I first started out, I wanted to be the center of all attention. I admit that. I wanted to be the king at the top of the hill, and I wanted people to look at me and bow down. Okay, I'm going a little bit overboard. That's not really, but the reality was I wanted to be the star, guy at the star.
Right?
I wanted to be the star of the show.
Right.
I wanted everybody to say, wow, thank you, Cliff Ravenscraft, for changing my life. And I realized that that's not right. And so and not only that, but I realized I can't have that many real, genuine, authentic relationships. And so what I decided to do was actually start plugging people, creating environments, creating online and physical environments for people to meet each other around these shared passions. So it's not necessarily, I want to personally connect with each one of these people. I want them to connect with each other. One of my favorite things I ever do, David, is when I go into town, and I'll give you my most recent example. I went to Dallas, Texas. I spoke at the Platform Conference. And while I was there, I had one of my friends from my community help me find the best pizza place in Dallas, Texas. And we reserved a private room, and I invited up to 50 people to come and have dinner. And I set it at, you know, limit of 50 people, because I wanted to be small enough where people really had to actually network with each other. Those tickets sold out within 24 hours. And we had 50 people come to this restaurant. I bought them all dinner. And the best part of it is I don't think I actually physically met and talked to all 50 of those people. And the reason why is because they didn't just come there to meet me. They came there to meet other people who also share their passions. And the best part, and there's a lot of best parts, can you tell?
I love it.
I think every
moment of your day is the best part.
Exactly. So the other thing that I love is that these are all people who live within a 50-mile radius of each other, who all have this shared passion. And prior to that evening, they had no idea that each other existed.
Mm.
But after spending 3.5 hours in that small room, friendships were developed.
Mm.
That will last a lifetime. And I've been doing this for several years. There are business partnerships that have happened as a result. And I will tell you, there's already been one marriage as a result.
That's awesome. If we go back then to this, I want to let people know, if they want to start podcasting, because hopefully what they're getting from this conversation, and especially because of where you were at, you know, you were talking about living in a community where you were financially set, you know, you had a pathway in front of you that was, you know, I mean, your family from 1989, right? I'm sorry.
1929.
I'm sorry. Yeah. 1929, this family legacy. And here you are, you start something that's impacting hundreds of thousands of people a week and really connecting people now at this is another whole level. I mean, apart from, they're really the star of their own life, and you're allowing them to meet people that are going to accelerate their own journey. But they can go to learnhowtopodcast.com, learnhowtopodcast.com. Why is it, let's just talk about, before we end the show, let's talk about, why do you want people to consider podcasting? What would be your mission for someone sitting here right now? They've got a gift inside of them, and maybe they've never thought about creating a platform where they could share it and share their particular passion and connect themselves with other people of like-minded passion. Is that the theme of why you want to do this, or is there something else I'm missing?
Yeah, that is, for me, that's my own personal mission and purpose. And I think that those who have a similar desire to do that, I think that podcasting is definitely the best platform for doing it. But I'd like to give you a reason why I think people should consider podcasting. And I have, 50 that I could share, but I'll share one that stands among all the rest. And I think it will appeal to everyone, those who want to do it for the same purposes that I do. And then also those who actually want to become known as a go-to expert in an area or to market their business better. And here's what I love. It is no screen time required. There's no screen time required for a podcast. And so we oftentimes hear about information overload. There are over 400 million active English language blogs. There are over 1 billion new hours of brand new video content uploaded to YouTube every single month. 1 billion hours every month, brand new content. So there is so much information out there vying for people's attention. But with an audio podcast, there are only 220,000, which is not a very big number relatively. And the reality is that with an audio podcast, people can be 100% fully engaged with every single word you say while they're still 100% fully engaged with whatever it is they're doing. An example of this, you can be driving your car. The average person drives to work 26.2 minutes one way each way, twice a day to work. That's 97 million people in the United States alone that drive to work alone. Then there is 47 million people who have a gym membership in the United States. There are people who are out there jogging, running, walking their dogs, watering the lawn, people who are doing their dishes. They can be doing all of these things. Not a single bit of listening to every word of you will distract them from what it is they've set out to do. In fact, you enhance their activity by giving them something to pass the time with, something that can benefit their lives. This is why I love podcasting. It's just one of the reasons. I could go on with that, but I think that's what you're looking for.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I'll ask you if I can, maybe some advice because here we are at this juncture of, I have found a home behind the mic in a sense. I do 4 shows a week. Outreach is a global reach. I haven't run it like a business. I run it very much as a passion. I realized the calling, the letter you talked about from the young girl. I've had a couple of those letters from people who were considering ending their life. There's a huge impact, or a responsibility, I think is a better word. I feel a responsibility in so many ways. If you were at this juncture, what would you be considering if you were me? What would be a next step? I know you don't know a lot, but if you want to ask a couple of questions, I'd like to hear your sort of vision of where this could go for someone like myself.
Well, I was trying to hear every single word. And one of the things that I heard you say, I'm doing this as a passion. I haven't really thought of this as a business. Is this something that you want to think more of a business, and something that you want to have maybe produce some income if it's not generating income right now?
Absolutely. I mean, I teach residual and passive income streams. I'm always, a lot of my events, I'm teaching people how to create wealth. We are certainly looking at this as a business model, but for the last year and a half, I haven't put a lot of energy into that. I've just put the energy into creating, this conversation and other conversations I want to create. We want to think about some other shows we want to launch. But I just wonder what strategies you would be at if you were in my situation.
Well, I think the strategy that you're doing now is exactly the strategy I would recommend. And so more of the same, but let me explain to you what I mean by that. Number one, I love the fact that you see this not necessarily as, wow, this is a business. But in reality, I don't like the idea of a podcast being a business. I like the idea of having a business that exists where a podcast can be used as a bridge to bring people to an understanding of what your business is about. So it, from what I'm hearing from you, you're going to have people come to Belize and you have this small group of people. I would imagine potentially, and tell me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine maybe one or more of those people maybe initially heard about you through your podcast.
Well, yeah. And I've done events where we've have a lot of people have come from the podcast. So certainly, I mean, typically our numbers right now, just to give you some context, you know, we'll have an average show between 2,000 and 7,000 downloads, something like that. Somewhere around that, you know, and they keep going up over time, but you know, I produce 4 shows a week. So again, you know, it's not for me, it's an incredible platform to talk to people around the world. However, again, when I look at that business model idea, if I ask the audience, you know, if I was doing an event somewhere, could I fill it up with and bring people from this audience? Absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of followers.
Well, and that's the thing. So basically what I recommend that you do is that you continue doing what you're doing, offering this amazing, free, valuable resource to people that creates this conversation, that creates this goodwill. And what you're doing, and this is what I love, because I can talk about reciprocity all I want, but the reality is as soon as you try to use the formula of reciprocity for the motivation of actually generating income, I don't know how I can actually teach somebody not to actually do it for that purpose. But the reality is when somebody like you, David, actually creates content like this, and that their genuine purpose is to serve and help others, then it's not necessarily how can I do something to get money back. The reality is reciprocity does kick in. And what reciprocity is, for those who don't know, is it's this something that's built into our human nature. If somebody were to punch you, your innate desire is to punch them back. And the reality is that if somebody was to come up and punch you, it's not that you want to punch them exactly the same, with the same force that they punched you. You want to punch them harder. And that is the negative side of reciprocity. But the positive side of reciprocity is when somebody gives you a gift, you immediately, somewhere inside, it's built into our human nature, you desire to give a gift back, and not something of equal value, but of even greater value. It's a part of who we are as human beings. And one of the things that I can tell you, David, is that as long as you continue to create great, amazing content that serves the needs of your audience, that provides value to them, what you are doing is you are building up so much reciprocity that eventually people will be begging to give you what Rabbi Daniel Lappin calls certificates of appreciation. He calls that money. So, my recommendation is to do more of what you're saying. Create those physical events, create those online training courses, create those eBooks, create those other products and services that will continue to add even additional value and give your audience the opportunity to say, wow, in response to what you've done for me, I would gladly support you by purchasing this product or that product. And, you know, affiliate products can be the same way. I have people who go way out of their way to buy products through my affiliate links because they desperately want to make sure that I get as much value out of that transaction as possible, even though it was a little bit more out of their way.
I'd love to get you back on the show. I know we're getting close to the end. I want to ask you a question. As you sort of cast your vision forward, looking at where you want to be, you've said 8 years. If we look forward 8 years from today, and you know the work you're doing, and I love the idea you're doing this with your wife, my fiance and I, we always we do a show on Saturdays together, and it's so much fun to have her on the other end of the mic. And I'm So talk about, what do you see coming in the next 8 years as far as this whole podcasting world, and you particularly, what is it you would love to be doing with this?
Well, in podcasting, I see that podcasting is definitely going to be mainstream. I'm predicting it right now, and everybody who hears this will one day be able to say, wow, I remember when Cliff Ravenscraft said that. But there will be one day within the next 10 years that there will be a Barbie movie. And in that Barbie movie, Barbie is going to be doing a podcast. All right. So, and the reason I say this is because I told people that Twitter was going to go mainstream and everybody said, there's no way it's going to break through the tech bubble. And I told people back then, I said, there will be a day where Barbie will be Twittering, and there is a movie where Barbie is Twittering. And I will tell you that in the future, within the next 10 years, Barbie will have a podcast in one of her movies. So that it's going to be that mainstream. The other thing I will tell you is that when you, in 8 years from now, when you buy a brand new car and roll it off the lot, you will be able to listen to any podcast that's available out there on the internet. So that is something that I do know is actually on. Matter of fact, it's coming right now. There's GM and BMW and Mazda, a couple manufacturers already rolling out cars with built-in podcasting functionality. So that is the future of podcasting. To be honest with you, I love podcasting, and I always feel weird telling people this because I'm the podcast answer man, but where I see myself in 8 years from now is I will probably still own Podcast Answer Man, and I will have an entire team of people to help manage, helping, you know, thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people launch podcasts because I do believe in them so much. But what I see myself for myself personally is really getting into the field of helping people understand this idea of actually waking up and doing work that you feel called to do, that gives you a sense of meaning and purpose in life. So basically escaping the mindset that you have to work from 9 to 5 at a place where you hate to work, but you only do it to be responsible and provide a solid income for your family. And I just don't think we were created for that. And I was stuck in that world for so many years. And what it took for me to transition my mindset from that world to the world where I live today, it was a painful experience. And if I can help people through my experience and the experience of others of what I've learned and help people make that mindset shift and find a way to actually do work that at the end of the day, they can say, wow, I did, if tonight I die in my sleep, I did the work that made that I was meant to do. Mm. That's my goal in life. And so it's not necessarily just podcasting. And so from 8 years from now, I think I may still own the Podcast Answer Man brand. I still may be overseeing how it's helping people, but it may not be me personally one-on-one teaching it 8 years from now. I may be, you know, off doing some other things, encouraging people to make that shift from the traditional job place to creating their own,
destiny and their own life. Truly impacting lives, though. I mean, it's just going to grow your impact because of where you come from inside. And this has been a wonderful, I mean, the time's just flown by. I feel like we just started chatting. I want to ask you, I ask all of my guests the same last question. My show is called The Kick-Ass Life. And I wonder if, you know, if you could describe what a kick-ass life is to you personally. I wonder if you could describe that.
Yeah, I think I'm living it. You know, today I woke up at 9:30 this morning and I jumped out of bed and I had breakfast and hung out in, you know, talked with my wife for a little bit. I came down, answered a couple emails, answered a couple questions for some students. And then I got on a mastermind call with people I absolutely love and some big name people that I'm just honored to even be in a relationship with. And that happened for an hour. And now I'm talking with you for an hour, hopefully having some kind of positive impact on the people who are listening. After this is done, I'm going to go out and grab some lunch. I'm going to come back, answer a couple more emails. I'm going to answer a couple more questions from students. And by the way, when I say students, I'm talking about students who paid $2,000 for the ability to ask me any question they want for 4 weeks. I mean, this is out of this world. This is the greatest month I've ever had in my life. And this is the greatest amount of margin I've ever had in my life. I'll walk 10,000 steps today, which is about 4.5 to 5 miles. I will eat healthy today, and I will have plenty of time with my kids on their day off the day before Thanksgiving. And I'm living a dream. I'm making a positive difference in people's lives, making more money than I ever dreamed possible. And I get to serve people. I am doing ministry full time.
Well, Cliff, I look forward to having you back, and I thank you so much. And I will definitely look forward to this blossoming and new friendship. I look forward to it.
Thank you so much. It has been a true honor, David. I really mean that, and I really appreciate the opportunity here. And I look forward to getting to know you better.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I told you. I mean, it's incredible. This well of service that he has inside of him, and the lives he's already touched, and the vastness of his interests. But there are so many gems and nuggets. This kind of program, again, you go to the show notes and thekickasslife.com. And if you want to really sort of read through some of the things he said and some of the links he mentioned, so thekickasslife.com. And just a favor, you know, if you really support the show and you haven't done this yet, go to iTunes and leave a star rating and a review, actually a written review. It's a little challenging. You need your password for Apple and stuff, but it's still worth it. If you could spend the 4 or 5 minutes it'll take, that would be absolutely incredible. And if you want to join us on Facebook, it's davidonfacebook.com, davidonfacebook.com. And get involved in the conversation. We are going through a huge restructuring right now, which we're really excited about. We have a whole team working right now on a launch coming up in the coming months. I'd say probably 3 months away now. So sort of hold on to your hats for that. Just lots of exciting things. And don't forget, if you're interested in coming down for an adventure week, maybe within 6 months, let me know and I'll set something up. I love being on the island. I love watching people open and transform, and I love the unknown and adventure. So I'll design the most incredible week of your life. And if you're a diver, we have the most spectacular diving, really right here, right off the tip of the island. We have great dive masters. And as I'm sitting here looking out across this beautiful turquoise blue ocean, and I can see the bird sanctuary in the distance, I can hear the wind on the western side of the island, just coming through the trees. And I just feel very blessed and grateful. And I'm really grateful for you guys out there who support the show, and you ladies out there who support the show, and you kids out there that support the show. So thank you so much. And again, this show is really probably worth listening to a second time. And if you really want to help the show, share it with someone, send it to someone. Say, hey, listen to the show, and that will get us more people listening. If everyone did that right now, we'd double the reach of the show. Imagine that, if you just share it with one friend. But if you share it with 4 or 5, that would be incredible. So we'll definitely see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.